Oh, hey, brown shoes.
Oh, what up? How dare you bring that up first thing? It's so offensive. Because I was gonna apologize, say I'm sorry I'm late, because I forgot it was like my one day out of the year to make dinner.
your one time that you have to make dinner
out of like 300 days or so. Yeah.
I mean, so, that's fair.
Yeah, and I feel like that's just, I was contemplating it as I was boiling chicken, thinking, adulting really is just doing what you said you were going to do. Like, but part of it is remembering that you said you were going to do it.
Yeah.
Which feels, that can be anything. Like, I remember that I'm supposed to show up to work at 9, but you got to remember that.
You do, you like, have to be like cognizant of what it is that you're supposed to do in order to do the thing.
And what you said you're, what you promised to do.
What you promised to do.
Like Stuart would just be like, oh, I'm so excited about, like, I have this one dish that's like pretty delicious. It has no nutritional value and is probably like 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
But it's a buffalo chicken pasta casserole and it's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's real good. It should be at like Chili's or something. It's like that. I could have put myself in high dining, but I just said Chili's. It could be at Chili's. No sponsorship.
Like no, don't we don't want to like confuse
maybe a
anyone.
Solid Outback. You could stick it alongside the Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah,
but much like that dish, zero nutritional value. Tastes good though.
I mean, there's some protein in there, right? That's chicken.
I mean, it's mixed with like milk, cheese, sour cream, and buffalo sauce.
It's so much protein.
So yeah, sure. I guess I don't know. I don't care. I'm like, it's what he requests, and I'm like, all right, there we go.
He's like, this is the only thing I know you can make, so.
Well, I actually was a, this is going to come as a huge surprise to my friends, especially. I was a, me and my friend Susie, who, you know, worked in a cafe in Edinburgh, and she got me a job there. She was the barista and, like, the waitress, and I was actually the chef, if you can believe that.
So I knew that you worked with her, and I think I just decided in my head that you must not have done anything.
They just paid me to sit there.
Like you were just like, that'd be nice. I don't know, a presence.
A presence. I was pastoral care at Simple Feast.
You're pastoral care.
No, I made. Now I will say they were like a breakfast / lunch place, so it was like sandwiches, and but I did make a mean Scottish breakfast. So yeah, some paninis. Also the owner was Israeli, so he taught me how to do like hummus and all that. So it's not like I can't, but you want to give the illusion.
Yeah.
This is the anti-adulting. I've come full circle. Is what make the illusion that you don't know how to do something.
This is what they call what is it, willful incompetence.
Yes. Yeah. So then I look at, well, and I think when Stuart and I got together, he was like, I like cooking. And I said, oh, that's good.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want. It's like somebody who's like, you hate this thing. I like this thing.
I like doing laundry because I'm weirdo. But I will do cleaning because my brain hurts. He does not like cleaning.
I like doing laundry as well. Laundry, I feel like.
I think it's probably in like a type A thing.
Laundry is like the easiest chore to do.
It is, and it's very satisfying, I think. I also like I'm currently washing dishes in a dishwasher that all I did was put them in and press start, and I feel a lot of joy about it.
See, here's the thing, though, is that
I need to go on a vacation.
You do need to go on a vacation. I actually hate doing dishes even with a dishwasher. The whole thing.
But you're not doing anything.
I know, but it's like, I resent the fact that it exists.
The dishwasher? Living in Scotland made me,
dishes.
Well, like, you could just hate the planet and just get a bunch of, like, plastic.
I know,
stuff.
And I can't do that because I don't hate the planet, so I don't.
You really should get on that train. That's the new trend.
The new trend is hating the planet.
It's the new TikTok trend is just throwing. We're back to littering again, Christy. I don't know if you knew. We've spent a while getting over that, but
we tried not to. Oh, okay. So
yeah, you're gonna bring this up again. That's fine.
No,
I already know you. I know you.
I'm gonna bring it up again eventually, but that is not what I was gonna talk about.
Okay.
I was gonna talk about our drinks because I don't know if you could hear my butane lighter going.
What? No. like a flame, like in chemistry class?
Yes, because I have a smoking kit, and I decided that I was going to make a smoked old fashioned, but I always feel like it's not like smoked enough. So I was really going to town while you were telling me about
that. Oh gosh. Should I be concerned about Penny in your home?
Penny tried to get up here and I was like, absolutely not. Not while I have this.
Not the place for you, dear.
Literal order.
So we have our 1 year anniversary. Woo-hoo! And we did it on May the 4th, which would make Stuart very happy.
It is hilarious that's it.
We're celebrating.
We're celebrating. Yeah. We're celebrating our 1 year with Theology on the Rocks. And so you suggested
1 year of me patiently dealing with Christy every week.
every terrible time that we have to chat and have
feelings, get down and yell at our animals. That was appropriate. Right as I said that, he jumped up on the thing.
And we're having a better drink than we had that time.
We didn't know.
We
were young and
naive. We trusted Trip.
We trusted Trip.
We shouldn't
We took our first suggestion and went with it. Although I will say, in all fairness to Trip and the firefighters in North Carolina who gave him the idea, the worst drink I think I've ever seen suggested was that one Stuart sent.
Oh, that most recent Mountain Dew and Guinness?
It was Monster.
Oh, it was Monster and Guinness. Oh, my God.
Guinness. Even worse.
Yeah, no, that's
weird. Disgusting. Green and brown,
that's disgusting. I can't even fathom how gross that is. And like,
no,
there's just no way.
But he sent it that. And I said, Art, do you want us to die?
And he was like, I'm really tired of this, how can I get rid of them?
I had an energy drink once with him, and I don't know if he knew it, but he just kept saying, you're acting really like, and he couldn't describe it. And then at one stage I was like, big eyes, like when you get really big eyes and you're just looking at everyone. And I was like, yeah, it's because I had an energy drink.
I know,
and I've never had it again.
Energy drinks, that's, I can only do in extreme circumstances. Like,
I can't. They make me feel big eyed. Like when you're looking at people and you're trying not to be drunk and you just like widen your eyes really wide. Yeah. That's how I am on energy drinks, but I'm not drunk. So I just look at everyone with giant eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, no, that sounded terrible. But other than Stuart's sometimes questionable suggestions and that redneck martini, I think we've done pretty well.
Once we figured out that like measurements matter.
Yeah, and that we should follow the recipes for things. That was a key.
That was a steep learning curve. But this week it was Theologian's Choice.
Yes.
That's, and you're like, what do you mean by that?
I was like, what does that mean? It means I get this.
We looked up what John Calvin's favorite drink was. We contacted him on the island.
We contacted John Calvin on the island. We were like, sir, what's your favorite drink? And he was like, how dare you?
I shut down all the bars in Geneva. Go F yourself.
And Martin Luther was like, beer, obviously.
Beer, clearly. Well, I'm going more the route of Martin Luther. I have a seltzer because that's what I wanted. And you're like smoking a cocktail.
I smoked an old fashioned. I don't know how well I did, but.
Well, I know how this is going to taste, so you can tell me how your tastes. Guys, this is Theology on the Rocks.
It's our 1 year anniversary. Welcome.
We're 7 years in dog years, which is not real, but
that's not how dog years work, but that's fine.
That's not at all how it works. I saw something where they were just like, no, they just age really their age kind of slow and then real fast at the end.
Well, and it like, depends on what kind of dog, depressing. Too. Like, small dogs age faster than big dogs, etc.
Oh, no. Pen.
Oh, but then they live longer, so it's okay. She just...
Yeah, but they're all broken.
She just got to be, like, the most mature she's ever going to be. Really.
Completely. Right now.
But, like, that was prior to me knowing her, so...
Wouldn't you like that if we had that? Like, this is the most mature Leigh-Ann Chris you're ever going to be.
I think that might be true.
This right now?
Right now?
Right now?
Do you think we have upward mobility in ourselves? Or do you think that it's downhill from here? Because I think it might be downhill.
I don't know. I think because of the, like, I feel like I've gotten more mature from having a dog. But that mostly just means that I have to come home sometimes.
You just have forced responsibility is all.
Right. I don't know that that generally changed my brain wiring. And most of the time I'll be sitting. We live close to a little like neighborhood called Noda. And I bring it up a lot, but we do. And that's where we hang out most of the time. And if I'm having a good time, I'll just send Stuart.
Yeah.
Because it's walkable. So I'll be like, why don't you just go up the road? And he's like, okay. And he does. So I don't even really do that. I'm making myself sound like a bad wife.
Look, we know Stuart is a saint for putting up with a lot of.
Stuart is long suffering.
But
like, he is long suffering. But he would say I make his life more fun.
Yes. I mean, so, he would not trade us for the world.
Us for the exact. What would he do without this thruple in his life? Probably just be a bit more chill. And after vacations, he wouldn't have to hear us just moaning in separate rooms because we're so sunburned and hungover. Which he was sad for 1 second.
He was sorry for us for 1 second, and then he was disappointed.
And then he just didn't care.
But we rallied.
We did rally. I still have giant tubs of aloe in my bathroom.
Listeners, I don't know if we've told this story or we've told it a lot of times, but what happened is this. I submitted my PhD thesis and I was like, we're going to the beach. So I flew out to North Carolina and Leigh and I drove to our favorite place, Carolina Beach. And we went
in gym.
We were there for 2 days.
Like, felt like I lived there.
And it was like a week's worth of a vacation. Like, we jam-packed it in. But the thing that
we didn't even really try.
We didn't try. It just happened.
It was just us.
It was magical.
And then Carolina Beach's general magic. Yeah,
it's the magic of the fat pelican. anyway.
The dive that never closes. When do you close?
Then they just like gave us to-go cups and they were like,
oh my God. Now. They were like, you have to leave. And they, I won't say which bar gave us to-go. Someone gave us to-go cups, Carolina. And they were just like, well, you got it. And I was like, is this legal? And they were like, once you leave here, it's not our problem. I was like, okay, that's fair.
So then we went to the beach the next day and we were out there. We put sunscreen on repeatedly.
We both can testify to the sunscreen happening.
At one point, genuinely, I think it was maybe 10 minutes in between each reapplication. We were just like,
we were lathering. We were old ladies.
Because we were burning to death, but we were so stubborn, we did not want to go inside. And so then at one point, we had just wrapped ourselves in the towels.
Yep. Which is a sign to go in.
Which most people would be like, maybe we should go inside. But you and I were like, absolutely not. We're on the beach.
Well, we like the beach so much.
And so then we were
it's a problem.
We had the worst sunburns we've ever had in our lives. Leah.
I woke up throwing up.
Leah's eye was swollen shut.
It was. It was swollen shut. That's right.
And then we had to drive home.
Crazy. Yeah.
To drive back to Charlotte. And
by we, it was me with my swollen eye.
Her swollen eye driving. and
I woke up and I just was so sick. And I thought, and Christy was like, is that like alcohol? And I was like, no, this is, I don't know what's happening. My body was wanting to turn itself inside out. We were literally
dying. We were truly dying. But then, so we were driving back to Charlotte and we stopped somewhere to get aloe because we were like, we need aloe. And this lady, we got the like last two.
We got the last two bottles.
That giant are like, bottles of aloe. And this lady say, tried to like steal Costco mine. Level. Oh, she was did, like, yes. I'm going to take this. And I was like, I will murder you.
Actually, I think we said, look at us.
I and said, she was like, look at us.
Okay. Yeah. She was like, okay. And then we looked terrible.
We got back to Leah's house and Stuart walked in and he just like looked at us. There was a second of like sympathy. Yep. And then he said, so I guess I should cancel our dinner reservations.
That's exactly what he said.
And I said, right. No. I said, we are going to rally. We'll be fine. And we did.
Well, I barfed in, again in the, to the bathroom.
In the bathroom of the restaurant. But we rallied. We ate that dinner.
I don't know if I enjoyed it, but I did it.
we ate that dinner.
Because he was like, I'm going to take, he was so sweet. He was like, it was very you know, sweet. Christy's your friend and I want to take you guys out for dinner. Mm-hmm. And then he saw us and he was like.
And I was like, I will not let this stop us.
We're both kind of similar in that sense. That's what gets you. People ask often, what gets you through a PhD? The same thing that made us sit on that beach.
It's all of these things that we're telling you right now. Is that just intense, undying stubbornness that lives within us.
Yeah.
Is what got us through a PhD. But it also.
I walked into this very cute Indian restaurant. And I was
so good.
I said, hey guys, I'll be back in a second. I bolted to that bathroom. You know, there was someone in the girls and I just went in the guys. Didn't even care.
Ironically, I also,
what if I had thrown up on the floor of the Indian? Could we have stayed? I don't think so.
There was a time my friends and I went to Malta for Christmas and I got some kind of like 24-hour stomach bug. And like, I was trying to do better. And so I went to dinner and we were at an Indian restaurant and the exact same thing happened to me. I just stood up and I was like, I'll be back. And then I ran to the bathroom and immediately puked. So it's real unfortunate, but we love Indian food. So I ate it.
We do. And we fought through it.
And then we had to wear like long sleeve and pants and everything while we were in Charlotte in July.
It was real hot.
Very hot.
Everyone but my skin was for us. We laid
all of these pictures are heavily filtered because we are
heavily filtered. There's one of us that we AI'd with all of my fingers.
Yeah.
That was on that trip. And if you actually look at the real version,
if we put the unedited version out there, you would
We have to. We have to. I probably do. I guess.
We'll see.
And I mean, my phone is so full right now that I'm sure it's there somewhere. But like, we looked crazy pants. And also, yeah, I mean, don't do that.
Don't do
it. It's not great.
All of this pants is bad advice.
I actually went to a dermatologist I had never been before after that trip because I was my kind of go to is sort of like, generally like white. I didn't get the good genes my dad and my brother have.
Yeah.
And like, so I came in, she goes, oh, you do take care of your skin. Cause I was so pale. No. And I just was like, oh no, lady. And it's like, you don't want to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many drinks do you have per week? Or do you floss? You want to say yes. You floss, but
every night.
And then she looked me over and said I wasn't going to die. So
that's all you need. That's all you need.
But I literally went to one because of that trip. Yeah. Because I was so
confident. It was like one of my top favorite trips and simultaneously the most pain I've ever been.
I remember the day that I woke up and it didn't hurt to get out of bed. At first, I had to have Stuart come help me get out of bed. And then it didn't hurt
you
anymore.
You were worse than I was. Like, somehow.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Based on the pictures, it looks like I am. I don't know. Maybe you're swarthier than me.
Maybe.
But
that is that Irish blood running through.
I mean, my last name's Robinson. I even have some far off genetics that would lend me to be better at this. My brother and my dad.
It should be you, but
right. My brother and my dad are like I would say olive skinned. Yeah. Like they're actually like, when my dad gets really tan, he looks like he is not white, a white person.
It's really funny because like there's four of us kids in my family and my oldest brother and I can tan, but my other brother and my sister, they cannot at all, to the point where like both of them get immediate blisters if they're outside for even 5 minutes. Ooh. Like it's really, really bad. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, today, guys, we are going to talk about barfing, which we've done. Check.
Check.
And being out in the sun. Check. How's your smoky old fashioned?
It's not that smoky again, and I don't know how to make it more smoky, but it's a good old fashioned. I'm not mad about it.
Leave it in the box. Leave it in the box.
I'm just not sure how to make the smoke part. Like, I've had some old fashions where they're smoked that, like, are just among the greatest drinks.
Yeah.
But this, I'm not there yet. So I got to keep practicing.
Listeners, if you know how to.
You have tips on smoking your whiskey, please send them my way.
So today we thought we would celebrate our year and talk about some of the things we've learned through our episodes. What was our, I had this question. What was your favorite episode that we did?
Oh, what was my favorite episode that we did?
I can answer.
You answer first because I feel like.
I only thought of this question now. So, but I like the one where we played the Mary.
Oh my gosh, that was super fun. Mary Banish. Fun. Mary Date like Banish. It. What was it we said?
I think like date Mary Banish. Mary Banish. We didn't want anyone to like.
We were trying to be PG back then. It's fine.
Yeah, that didn't last. Beethoven. I'm spraying him in the face and he doesn't care. He just takes it. He just looks up at me like, what? I like that one. I like the one we did on Israel Palestine because I think. Like now things, we probably need to do an update on that. Cause that was like the day after that happened.
And I have so many more thoughts and
yeah, I mean so many more because so much stuff has happened since then. And then probably the one where I got to tell you about my trip to Arkansas.
That was fantastic. Honestly,
those are
top three. I feel like the date Mary Banish is probably up there with mine as well. I really liked, and I know this isn't just one episode, but I really liked when we talked through like the church history stuff.
Yeah,
that was fun. Yeah. Those episodes, I was like kind of yelling about random theologians. It's always a good time. And then I really liked, again, this is not just one episode, so I'm cheating a little bit, but the two episodes where we both talked about our specific research.
Yes. That was those were good.
Obviously, we both like talking about that, but it's also always fun to learn or like get to hear more about people's stuff, you know?
Yeah. And then it helped too because yesterday I messaged Christy with a voice message and was like, I need you to tell me if this makes sense theologically.
Yes.
And that's when she discovered.
When I discovered that Leah is a brown shoe. And
guys, I'm officially a Karl Barth person.
She's officially.
But I'm going to say that he is a Leah Robinson person.
I don't know if you could say that because he said it first.
I didn't read it, though. It's not like I knew. I read one section of Church Dogmatics, which is the reconciliation section because I had
to. Because you had to. It's so funny because Leah was talking about how, like, your book that you're working on right now, and I won't give away, yes. like, spoilers or anything.
I had to do a summary chapter about theology for this book.
Yeah, so in her summary chapter, what you were talking about was, like, how we can know. Basically, like, how can we know and what can we say? Do we know God truly or not? And
yeah,
I was
using Gordon Kaufman, who's a contemporary person who used the phrase reality, God, and then God. And it's like, we can never know reality. His argument was we can never know reality, God.
Well, his argument and Karl Barth's argument are.
Well, I'm going to say this is Gordon Kaufman's argument, okay?
Well, I think that maybe he also got it from her. But.
Whatever!
He was telling me this, and I was like, Leah, this is Karl Barth in his rejection of Emil Brunner's natural theology. And he says that we cannot, there's nothing that we can like definitively say is true about God outside of Jesus, because Karl Barth is Karl Barth. So is Jesus, always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But he does, he says like, cause Emil Brunner is like, one of his sentences in there is like, we can know the art, the artist because of the art, like, you know, the artist, because like, if you see a Van Gogh, you know, that's Van Gogh. Mm-hmm. And he's saying essentially like, we see the world and we know that God created it and stuff like that. He talks about relationships and other things too. And like Brunner's natural theology argument, obviously has its merit, and he's not like a lousy theologian.
I'm sure he's happy to know that.
But Barth's response is no.
No. I love that. It's just no.
It's no.
With an exclamation.
With an exclamation point. Except for also it was nine. It was written in German.
So Christy's telling me about Brunner, and I was like, I don't really.
Well, because at first I thought you would like Brunner. So I was like trying to. I know. And you were like, no, I don't agree. And I was like, well, then apparently you are a Barthian. And I sent her some stuff from that, and she was like, yep.
I think I'm a Kaufman, Kaufman-Maninian, Gordian. I'm a Gordian.
Gordian. You're a Gordon Kaufman. I don't know how to say Kaufman. That.
But I
get that, yeah.
It's funny because you said that, and I was like, I don't really think that that's true, because, like, science and, okay, like, maybe I'm just a deist. I don't know. But anyway, I just was like, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And then I think I'm too much of a humanist to kind of do that. And then she was like, or Karl Barth said that blah, blah, blah. And it was basically the same argument.
It was like, it's exact. It's so funny. I was like, yep, here we go. This is what Leah's saying.
Because one of the things that I talked to someone about my book was they said, generally super, super positive reviews, really happy. And there was one person who was really into the systematics and said, you know, is it possible, or why would you have a criteria for good and bad theology if you don't know, like, that this came from God?
Yeah.
And so I said, well, as a practical theologian, like, I don't necessarily, it doesn't matter if it came from God. These categories are not judging God, they're judging the theology. And I think the theology is a social construct because we can't actually know reality, God. Well, I explained this to Christy, and then Christy was like, that's what Karl Barth said. And I'm like, of course, Aoife.
And then Leah's world came crumbling down.
And now I'm in a corner rocking, drinking a seltzer.
Also, my favorite second part of this is that when the specific quote I sent her, Karl Barth is referencing John Calvin. And I was like, it gets better.
Tulip my ass.
Leah changed and is now a reformed theologian. She's going to be wearing a lot of tweed and brown shoes. And
I told her I only had boots that were brown that had a heel on them. And I don't know if that works, but.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
We used to call, I don't know if we've told you yet, there was a little bit of a joke when I worked at Edinburgh, of American guys who studied Barth stuff, which was a lot.
So many.
I joked to Christy, I said, someone should write a PhD on this young man.
There were so many.
And they typically wore a very similar uniform in what Christy is describing. Mm-hmm. And they always had brown shoes, so we called them the brown shoes. Now I'm a brown shoe.
You're a brown shoe.
I guess
it's okay.
I'm blaming Scotland, because how could you get out of Scotland and not be a Calvinist, I guess.
I guess it's that John Knox influence. Just
he stood in the literal, like, he was in the courtyard of New College where I taught at Edinburgh, and he had his hand up in the air as though preaching. However, his hand gestured towards my office, and I always made the joke that he was mad at me and that he was saying he was looking at New College being like, what is she doing here? And then one time I asked the then head of divinity, oh, the sir, very reverend, that saw me hung over at AR, David Ferguson, if I could put a cone on John Knox's head, like how there's a thing in Glasgow where
the Duke of
Wellington, there's a statue that they always put a traffic cone. It's become like a thing now. And I said, could I put a cone on John Knox's head? Chrissy, you would have thought I had said, can I set fire to the Queen? He was like, no. Absolutely not.
Fantastic.
And I said, it'd be kind of funny. And he was like, no. And I was like, well, okay.
Didn't you also get booped with his underwear at your graduation?
With his pantalones.
His pantalones the thingy you get booped with.
So when you graduate at Edinburgh, you get you.
They hit you on the head, basically. They hit you on the head with something. I got hit on the head with something. Leah got hit on the head with something.
It was John Knox's underwear, and it sewed into a hat.
Sewed into a hat, yeah. Mine.
It had been to space.
Mine is underwearless hat.
Yours was just a hat.
Mine was just a hat, but.
Well, it was an experience.
If you ever like graduations are kind of a weird thing, just remember Leah and I got hit on the head when we graduated.
I got hit on the head with someone's a theologian's underwear. Which looking back, I'm like, oh, cool. Also, do we all have lice? I don't know. So anyway, so that I don't even know where I was going. I'm not even the one drinking the old fashioned. But yeah, so I'm a Bardian, yeah. I guess now. But I don't know how long it's gonna last for. Because I made a real sort of identity, theological identity of making fun of that.
No, this is a slight crisis of personality that's happening for you right now, I think. And
I know.
It's okay. We're all here for you. We're here for you while you work out your new Bartian understandings.
This is part of the problem of being friends with systematicians is that you'll say something. If you're a practical person, you're like, this is like what I think. And they're like, oh, so-and-so said that. And I'm like, cool. I don't think I'm an original thinker. Like, I don't think I'm the only one. It's just, I don't want it to be like this, a set of like 8 people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's always.
And I hit 2. I got 2 out of those 8 and 1.
It's always nice to know. Like, I think this thing, and I think that I'm right. And then to get to find out that someone who people generally think like, okay, that guy knows what's up, is also agreeing with you. Cause then you don't have to do anything else. Like you could,
which as a theologian, you're trained to kind of reference and layer yourself like that. It's like a little defense mechanism. It's just like my defense, my little fort that's around me.
Yeah.
Are typically people that were born in the 20th century, and I don't really want anyone, oh, I guess Bart was too, that are born like 19, that were alive when I was alive. How about that?
That's fair.
Was he alive?
Let me check. I don't know. He probably not, but
I was trying to do anything to
you're like, how could I separate myself from this man? He was not. He died in 1968, so you're safe.
Okay.
Also, so he was born in 1886, so he was not born in the 20th century.
Okay, then I stand by the 20th century. So I want my, like, fighters around me to be, like, young and hip. Physically fit and hip and hopefully liberation theologians. That's who I want around me. And now this guy's just come and broke my rank.
Well, you know what, though? It's okay because liberation theologians are also using Bart. And you could argue that he was of like a first group of liberation theologians because he was fighting the Nazis.
No. Oh, okay. I'm not gonna take that one away from him. I was just like, no!
That was the context of his theology, was to be like,
but he didn't die like Bonhoeffer.
No, Bonhoeffer was doing the same thing.
Bonhoeffer got axed. He almost made it. There's been a real resurgence in his stuff, I feel like. Like, he's always been there. But, like, I feel like
he got
with appropriated the way the world. Oh, by who?
By the evangelicals.
Oh.
And my least favorite, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, I've been reading about him in my book.
Oh,
I feel like I'm getting a window into all the things you talked to me about that I did. That is just like a blank.
I wrote an article about him for SCM, and then he blocked me on Twitter, and it was one of my proudest moments.
I would just quit Twitter.
I was like, this is the end. I peaked. I have been blocked by him, and this is my peak.
Yeah. Chris Cornell replied to one of my messages. I saw him of Soundgarden fame. I saw him in Glasgow, and I said, which is a true fact, that I was watching MTV at my grandma's house. My grandma was a lot older. She was like 30s generation. And she saw me watching Black Hole Sun, the music video. And she said, oh, this is proof that the world is ending.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't hyper evangelical. I think just watching that video.
I mean, it was a fairly, I mean, grunge in general.
It was scary. Yeah. But I was like, right, my face was like right up next to the television.
Oh, yeah.
That like wood box television. Because and so I,
Chris Cornell.
When I was about to go see him, I said, hey, at Chris Cornell, see you tonight. My grandma said when she saw your Black Hole Sun video that she thought the world was ending. He replied and said, maybe she's right.
Maybe she's right. I mean, maybe she was.
That was the peak. That was the peak. R.I.P. Chris Cornell, because that was a very good show. Well, but
yeah.
But yeah, he replied, maybe she was right.
Fantastic.
So, you know, tweet those stars. And it's funny too, because I wasn't even like a huge fan. Like Stuart was a much bigger fan. And it's like, that's funny that that's the person that I met.
I mean, if you're going to meet or not, or, that I like met interact with somebody, Chris Cornell is a solid one to interact with. Like,
he was pretty funny on Twitter. I think
you can brag about that for pretty much ever. You know,
I still am. That was like a million years ago. So, but that's my only like Twitter interaction. So moving on to our top fives, which people had a lot of questions about.
We had a fantastic time doing our top fives, and people were guessing, and some people got things right and some people got things wrong, and we thought we would tell you some of them. But also I feel like we should give we can't go through everything because this would be 5 hours long, but like slight insight. So the movies, easy way to tell whose top five was whose is that Scream is on Leah's list.
Always and forever.
Because Leah loves always horror ever. And I am a big scaredy cat.
Although Scream.
I have seen, and like, it's not as terrible as some, but I am truly afraid of everything. So
Scream was famous for you can tell in the first like kill when it was something Wes Craven was a little upset about. They don't actually show most of the killing, and you can tell so very easily if you guys go back and watch that. Someone gets killed in the first scene. I don't know if I just said it, but anyway, sorry. It's been the 90s.
It's been out for a minute.
when they kill the first person, you can tell it's a retractable knife. It's like super bouncy, and she kind of already has blood on her shirt and stuff. But like, you should go back and watch. I think that's what makes it not scary to me, and also because it was trying to take the piss.
Yeah,
it's taking the piss out of the genre. Yeah. That's why you had the rules: never say I'll be right back. You're not gonna be right back.
Not gonna go back.
So it was more suspense, I would say. But yeah, go look at
it. I would say,
scared.
I would be better at watching it today than I was when it came out. But like, I just remember like everything. I was afraid of everything. So
I mean, the mask and the guy in the mask is scary, but just always remember that knife is
retractable. The movie that threw people off for my list was apparently The Fifth Element, which I think.
Yeah, that one did. People were like, that must be Leah.
That must be, like, everyone thought that The Fifth Element was you. And I was like, no, that is all
I don't
me.
Know if it's because of the Stuart sci-fi thing. I've only seen The Fifth Element once, liked it very much.
Oh my gosh,
but
it's so good. Probably because I will say it's one of the exceptions to my general no space rule that I have. And I understand that it's an exception, but like, I don't know. There's just something about it that I think is so brilliant. And also it's Bruce Willis like at his peak. You know?
I feel like you... Oh my gosh, I'm dying. I feel like you have a real thing for Bruce Willis.
Oh, I have a big thing for Bruce Willis. I think he was. I mean, he's...
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, it's very, very sad, you know, now. But goodness, he was hot.
Yeah. Oh, you thought he was hot?
I thought he was so hot. I also...
You like the bald head.
I enjoyed the acting. I don't typically like bald heads, but like...
His does
he pulls it off. It was fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think that one, there was... I think all the real girls should have given it away for me.
For you, I would say. Probably. I feel like She's the Man should have given it away for me, but...
Right. I don't know that. I don't think I've ever seen
it. I was going to say, Leah, have you ever seen She's the Man?
No, I think I know it's Amanda Bynes.
It is Amanda Bynes. It's a adaptation of the Shakespeare's The Twelfth Night, and it is fantastic. Channing Tatum is also in it.
Stuart read your, this is, I'm going to come back to this, but Stuart read your book list, and he goes, which one reads like someone has an English major? I was like, yup, that should have given it away. Anyway, back to Amanda. Yeah, I think that one, so All the Real Girls is set in, I think it's set in North Carolina, actually, but it's Danny McBride, and then weirdly Zooey Deschanel. I don't know why she's in there, because I guess she was like the dream pixie girl.
The hipster for everything. Like, right. Get a hipster, hire her. Yeah.
And it was the guy who did David Gordon Green. So David Gordon Green got together with like Danny McBride. They were part of this whole like troupe of like Southern filmmakers and actors. And essentially what they did was they were trying to dispel the kind of like stereotypes around Southernness and how people can have the accent and not sound and not be stupid.
Okay.
So All the Real Girls is a love story at its core, but it's also like about, like, at one stage there's like Danny McBride and like a bunch of like quote unquote rednecks sitting around, but they're talking like they have real Southern accents, they're talking like this, but they're talking about life and like deep, like existential stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of David Gordon Green's thing, as he was like, I mean, then he went on to do like Pineapple Express and a bunch of stoner movies. But like at the time, it was this idea that we should do that. Wes Anderson kind of did that too, yeah, with the Owen and his face. But in Texas.
Can I just give a quick shout out to Pineapple Express? Because that movie is also.
I love it. I had a great time. It just wasn't the same.
It's not like a intellectual movie at all. But
like All the Real Girls is an intellectual movie. There's a lot of really tough stuff, and you see people who are living in poverty. Like at one stage, someone's losing custody of their kid because they live in a trailer, and it's like, it's just like tough life stuff that really resonated with me and has stuck with.
Yeah,
like, well, I saw that's it the thing. In, yeah, because we rewatched Garden State, Christy and I, recently, I think.
We did, yeah.
You did, yeah. And it was like, this doesn't hit like it did when I was in college.
Yeah.
This one still hits.
The soundtrack, like, though, is still perfect, but no, the movie itself. But yeah, it's like, there are certain things that you have to watch. And this is also funny because, like, behind the scenes, Leah and I were having chats about all of these topics. Yeah. And, like, there was just some stuff that we'd be like, oh, I didn't really like that, but it's because I had seen it too late, or, you know, something like that, where there are certain things that you have to see at a certain age and then they never really hit again. And I think it's fine to leave them there, you know?
Yes. Like, I leave Garden State in like 2001 or whenever it came out, or 2005. I don't know. But then like Donnie Darko is a good example. Like All the Real Girls, Donnie Darko is on my list. It still hits for me.
I love that movie, but I'm going to tell you right now that movie was really bad for my mental health, because I immediately, I have schizophrenia.
Oh,
like
that was what you took away from.
Immediately. I was like, I am going to develop this. This is a thing. Like, I have all these symptoms, and it was like a week of me just being absolutely freaked out because I was so
confused. All right. Well, trigger warning.
So I can't watch that movie because it's upsetting to me, but it was a really good movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I like the sort of time travel and all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. Wow. There was one that through. There was one that you said you had seen in Not a Good Time that was on my list, but I can't remember which one it was.
I think it was Mona Lisa Smile.
That's it.
Which I like Mona Lisa Smiles, but I think that it was too close to Dead Poets Society for me.
Yeah, I think so.
And like, I'm usually here for like, let's do, you know, the women's version or like have a kind of feminist retelling of something, but it didn't hit for me. But I love most of the actresses in that movie. So
yeah, cool. It was a good ensemble and I enjoyed it just for being a teacher, like a female teacher as well. I think I watched it at a time where I was feeling, I will not say when, but that I was feeling very low about teaching and very kind of, I won't say oppressed because that feels too intense, but I was feeling very kind of.
I can see that. Yeah. I think it could like be a little, really empowering. A little
strangled in my job. Yeah. And so I think it was nice to see that and to be like, oh, like at least I'm not in the 50s.
Yep.
Because that would suck.
Yeah.
One
of mine that also tends to be a confusing one because people are like, why do you like this? Is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Have you seen it?
No.
It has Ben Stiller and Kristen Wiig in it.
I have read the book.
The book is not as good. I'm going to just tell you that. Like, okay. I read the book and I was just like, no. But here's the thing is that,
the English major speaks, guys.
I talk about this a lot. I think that there are certain times that books are better than movies, and I think there are other times when movies are better than books. I think it's just like, and sometimes it's totally a non-conversation because like the book and the movie can be great. But when I started, like when I was initially in my like deep fear of flying had started kicked off, and like because this it, like I had a bad flight and then I became absolutely terrified and have like a lot of kind of anxiety around flying because of that. And so it wasn't like I've just always been afraid of it. It was like a new thing. And there were two times when I couldn't get on the plane. And so I was like seeing all these therapists and trying to deal with it and all this stuff. And somewhere along that way, I saw that movie and there's this scene where he gets on a helicopter that was, it like empowered me. It was like this moment, and I for probably 3 years every time I would fly I would watch that movie again.
That's awesome. Maybe I need to watch it now.
it's definitely not like, oh, here's the greatest movie ever, but it's like it's that thing like we were talking about, like there's something that it hits for you, and so now I love it, and it's one of the like go-to movies when I need that kind of confidence boost, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think you like happier films, and that's what I think I said that in a voice message the other day. I was like, this one's a happy, oh yeah, I was talking about Junebug, so that's a happy one, you'll like it. It's a good one.
Yeah,
because you're very good about that, is balancing. I sort of go down a hole of despair, and
I think because I'm too scared.
Well, that's fair.
I get really scared of everything.
That's why I watch Sister Wives, which, guys, y'all were a little judgy about that. I'm not gonna lie. You gotta watch something where someone's life is much worse, and then you feel better about everything. I'm not watching it for like dating instructions,
right?
But I will say, last thing about the movies, Mulholland Drive.
Oh yeah,
y'all should get it from. That one was mine because, and also later in the TV shows, which we can segue to at Twin Peaks as well. David Lynch, deep, 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 deep. I dated a film major, and this is the one thing. Well, there was multiple things, but this is one of the most important things I got out of that relationship. was an intense. I loved him more than the film major after. I just loved David Lynch.
So funny. I love that.
He used to read The Weather. And I like just every day, just like on YouTube, he reads the weather.
Oh my gosh.
Just delightful.
And you were just like, yes, just pump
He's
her.
He's so weird. It's funny because like sometimes it's weird and it doesn't make sense, or they leave it open-ended and you're like, what was in that suitcase at the end of Pulp Fiction or whatever?
Yeah.
You can kind of talk it out. Like if you talk, I remember this is pre sort of internet, I saw Mulholland Drive and like, I sat there with my friends, and it was kind of like a Lost thing. If you watch Lost week to week, we just would sit and talk. Mm-hmm. And I think David
Lynch, that I think is
great for that.
Pardon the pun, but I think this is the thing that we've lost with how we watch TV now, is that not only do we watch stuff too fast, but also we've lost the ability to form like these communities around it, because Lost, part of the magic of Lost, and this is why I just don't bother having arguments with people about it anymore, because if you weren't doing it when it was out, like, you don't have any idea what it was like, you know? And like, you can appreciate it, you can like it, but like, you're never gonna get like what it is we were doing, because we would talk about it, people had theories, there were blogs.
Yeah,
there was just one, it was like a legitimate like film critic who put out every week, he would put out an article about that episode, and it was the most, and I am devastated because I cannot remember this man's name, but he would list all of these Easter eggs, like what they were reading, or like kind of what you thought was like a throwaway reference, but he'd be like, here's how all of this like can be leading to these things. He would talk about like the religious elements. I mean, it was the most masterful kind of examination every single week that I would read every week. And I'd be like, okay, you know, we have these theories now. You just don't do that anymore. Like, people don't have, because we watch them too fast, or we don't like watch them on the same days, or like everybody's watching other stuff, or you know, stuff gets canceled after a season or whatever. We've like lost a lot of that magic of weekly television. And that
I agree. Makes sense. I used to call my friends in Michigan. Like, I had some friends in Michigan, and I was in Georgia, and we would just sit and just talk.
Yeah. I was in seminary, and we would just have these like hangouts where we would study, but we would start our study session by like examining and like debating what happened on Lost that week.
100%.
So it was just such a like cultural moment. And again, like, I'm not even like, oh, you know, I mean, obviously I can have discussions with you about whether you liked the finale or not, but like, if you weren't watching in the moment, and if you weren't part of this whole thing, I don't think that's ever gonna hit the same way.
Yeah, I put Twin Peaks on my TV list, but like, my parents said that, you know, it was like the whole water cooler conversations. It was very similar to Lost, except clearly in the like 80s or whatever. And so I watched it later on video cassette. There was really weird like video store, Videodrome. Shout out to Videodrome in Atlanta, guys. And they had someone had recorded it off the TV.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And so that's how I watched it first time in like whenever.
Did you also get commercials with it? Because that's my favorite.
Absolutely.
What are these commercials?
Right. My parents said that's what it was like when people were, because the premise, if you've not seen Twin Peaks, is basically the first episode, first scene, she's wrapped in plastic. Someone finds the homecoming queen wrapped in plastic, washed up on the shore. She's dead.
Oh.
Yeah. So the whole show is about who killed Laura Palmer. And Laura Palmer is the girl who died. So that's and then you get this whole cast of weird characters, and it's like Clue, basically. Like, everyone's kind of, and you get this quirky, Kyle MacLachlan comes in, he's Agent Dale Cooper, he's from the FBI, and he's supposed to figure it out, but he's the city slicker, and he's come in, and you know, now you can see this, like, if you guys watch Riverdale, it's the same premise. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost the exact same first scene. Is someone ends up washing
Riverdale out. Was a trip, man.
It started Twin Peaksy, and then like even
then they had so a weird bad. Video,
and they clearly were self-referential to David Lynch, because the video shop was called Blue Velvet, which is in Riverdale, which is like one of the movies of David Lynch. I would say Lost. I heard what's his face, J.J. Abrams, talking once, and he said that Lost, he was really influenced by like David Lynch's stuff too. It's just like having this kind of underlying mystery, and then having a whole cast of wacky characters. And it's not that hard of a premise.
It's not. But it's a fantastic premise.
It's a fantastic, because it keeps you going. Like,
I'm here for it.
You're both invested in the characters, but then you also care. Like, the whole thing with Lost was the characters are all having their own lives, but then the island was the underlying thing.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with the island? So, like, it kind of kept you... It was so interesting because David Lynch with Twin Peaks, they told him after the first season that he had to say at the end who killed Laura Palmer. And he said, if we do that, it ruins the whole show. Mm-hmm. We can't do that. And so they made him do it. The network made him do it because they thought people wouldn't hold on. And he did it. And then he didn't come back for the second season. He let his co-writer come back or whatever.
He was like, no more of this.
Well, and he still thinks about it, though. He said they brought it back recently. It's not great. But yeah, like, that's still his like little world that he created. So
our TV episodes or shows were very similar because we have
similar
tastes. Yeah. And Vampire Diaries on both of ours.
what a freaking gulf those two are. Right? I think they reflect the days we're having bad days.
I also want to point out, though, that I picked Vampire Diaries, but it was a really difficult decision because I think what I wanted to do was to say everything that's ever been on the WB.
Yeah, you do love that. I've only seen the first 10 minutes of One Tree Hill.
Like, not all of it, because I never got into Dawson's Creek, which is, again, because I watched it too old, but... It was Gilmore Girls and One Tree Hill and Vampire Diaries and Felicity. And
I watched Felicity.
Felicity was so good. And Roswell. And
I might add Felicity on my list.
I think Felicity
would replace the sister wives.
If I was being honest, the reason I put the Vampire Diaries is because I felt like this is a good summation, but also I thought it was funny that we both had the same two. And
we did. I just want to see hottie vampires running around. Also, I have a deep, deep crush on Joseph Morgan. Also, Stuart dressed up for him one time as on Halloween, and I had a moment. I'm not gonna lie. There was just enough similarity.
My Ian Somerhalder being both in Lost and in Vampire Diaries is just like the dream, really. Like, just go back and forth.
Him and Kristen Stewart have a similar acting style where it's all about this like weird mouth thing. I've noticed this. Like, he does a little like sideways mouth and then, like a twinkle eye.
Ugh.
And that's kind of his acting. Like,
You know what? It's fine with me. I'm fine.
He's hot enough to get away with that.
He gets away with it. It's fine.
But yeah, y'all railed on me for the Sister Wives thing.
It's so funny.
I have rewatched it probably more than any other show trying to figure out what is going on. And now I'm watching Seeking Sister Wife as well.
We also got several people being like,
that's obviously not
Christy. We have a lot to talk about. And
I was like, ouch.
No. It's because all of my friends watch reality shows and I just have never really gotten into
reality shows. You know how you watch whatever Criminal Minds, like ad nauseum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like as your background noise? That's what reality shows are for me.
Yeah, I can get that. Criminal Minds is my background noise. Also, I like to fall asleep watching Criminal Minds, which is maybe not.
Oh, I hate that.
Like, a good thing for your mental health. And apparently, one of the reasons that Mandy Patinkin quit the show, he said, I'm really upset because he heard that people were falling asleep watching it. And he was like, this is not okay for our country.
Here's one thing I've never done.
I apologize, Mandy Patinkin, but you're so comforting as a human. Like, I could just listen to his voice all the time.
You're the reason that he quit. So thanks, Christy.
I wasn't watching it then. I was
whatever.
But yeah.
I mean, I have watched some of it. I don't do as well with episodic shows like that because I get kind of bored. But I like when I watch it with you, I like it because I think the majority of my watching it has been with you. Although when I come to Christy's house, we've skipped like 12 seasons or something. And I'll be like, wait,
wherever I am at that moment.
Right. And I'm like, wait, what happened to that guy?
I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. Like, it's not a huge thing. So
unless we're in like one of the multiple, like Spencer Reed is being tortured, and I need to give you a little background, but
I mean, even that's fine. He's probably gonna get out of it. That's part of the whole thing. He's not gonna die.
He won't die, though.
So
you had the more depressing music.
Bryant was like, this is not, whoever this is not okay.
If somebody needs therapy, I was like, that's Leah.
It is. It was me. I had a Neutral Milk Hotel, Frightened Rabbit, the National, Bon Iveria, and what was the other one I put?
Ben Folds,
yeah. Ben Folds is okay. Ben Folds is
I know. Happy. I don't think of Ben Folds as depressing.
He's got some sad songs. I mean,
everybody has some sad songs, but.
Brick is about him and his girlfriend getting an abortion, so that's fine. But, like, whatever.
It's so peppy.
I'm a brick and I'm drowning slowly. Yeah, it keeps you going. Most of his are puppy. But yeah, that one was pretty easy. I have a solid, like I told you, like 7 or 8 albums that are my perfect albums, and those mm-hmm. were on it. The top three are kind of always there.
Yeah. I mean, it's always hard to narrow stuff down to 5, but those are pretty solidly my 5 always. And
what was yours again?
It's The Format.
Oh, yeah.
And Manchester Orchestra and Radiohead and Beyonce and Fiona Apple. But it's not the Radiohead you want it to be. It's no, in rainbows. That
anyone agree. I mean, Christy, you are. Look, we can debate Taylor Swift albums, but you are in the minority.
I am not in the minority.
Did you find one article that you can reference? Found
so many articles because it was the anniversary, the 20th anniversary, fairly mm-hmm. just a few years ago. And there were all these people writing about it. Not 20th anniversary, 10-year anniversary. Sorry. I totally agree that OK Computer is like intellectually the more interesting album, and that it's doing more like culturally and things like that. But again, if I'm like, I need to listen to an album that is zero skips, just like I'm gonna sit here in front of my record player and listen. It's In Rainbows. It's not.
She just said record player, guys.
Because I have a record player.
I also do.
So
do
you.
I know. I said it. I own my disc. It's like, but I do like the line in Taylor Swift. I'm re-listening to the Tortured Poets now, and I'm liking it more as I re-listen. And it's funny because she says at one stage, "You have a typewriter. Why do you have a typewriter?" Or like, who even uses a typewriter? And I was like, and in my head, she would be the person who uses.
She would be the person. Honestly, also, like, I had recently seen somebody has a digital typewriter.
No, that's a computer. That's what we call that.
I was like,
what in the world?
I was like, I want a digital typewriter.
It's a computer. What do you mean? Does it just look like it? Does it type the words on the page?
No, it types on a screen, but it doesn't do anything else. So it's like, it doesn't have like the
it's
internet.
Like it's an old computer.
It's a computer that only has Microsoft Word.
Okay. I mean, it'd be a lot less distracting.
But yeah, and I was like, it's the less distracting part that I was like, that would be helpful because let me tell you how many other things I'm always doing to distract myself from the thing I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, there you go. You're trying to dig yourself out of a hole
that you cannot because you have.
I don't want to dig it out. I'm being honest.
Too many
times. I like it better than Pablo Honey and Hill to the Thief. But I don't think it's anywhere near the top. I would put the Bends above that as a rock album.
No.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
And clearly OK Computer. And I'd put Kid A above it too.
I mean, again.
I'd put Amnesiac above it.
If we're talking about like which one is like intellectually the better album, it's obviously OK Computer. But like that is not what we
have. Die on that hill. It's fine.
I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to.
Like I said, it's, you know what it is to me? It's Tortured Poets Department.
That's fair. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sure that's some person's favorite. I'm not saying it is a favorite, but I'm sure somebody likes it.
Yeah. Somebody else.
Right.
Okay.
I will say, here's a positive.
Yeah.
That, I looked at Vulture, and they listed Taylor Swift's best albums because you and I went through this exercise. And actually, they had put 1989/2 and Folklore 1. So there you go.
That's good. I mean,
because that's your favorite, right?
No, it's Evermore.
But Christy, that's also a weird one. I don't know about that one. was her extra songs that didn't make it onto Folklore.
I love Evermore so
that's
much.
Okay. Like I said, that's
it goes
okay.
Evermore, Folklore, Midnights. And that's basically it for me. But
I feel like that's a sobriety test, is if you can list all Taylor Swift's Folklore, Evermore.
What is it they call them? Folkmore?
I made up something, but I don't think it's what the Swifties call it.
Tell me more about your childhood movies that you picked.
Yeah, and we had a different mentality to this.
We did. Well, the childhood movies and the childhood crushes, we went in very different directions with this.
Oh my God, so. Jordan Catalano. Christy, I'm being attacked by a cat. Tyler, you're not the one that's doing this usually.
Like,
he must be hungry. So my movies, yeah, I think I
you mostly
did I put Jurassic Park in there?
You did not. You said Ooh. Mickey's Christmas Carol, One Magic Christmas.
That's what
the
that's
prevalence of Christmas on your childhood movies was really confusing for me, if I'm going to be honest. The Labyrinth, which
I'm a ball of happy.
I'm what confused do you mean? About The Labyrinth as a children's movie.
Yeah, I saw it as a kid. Yeah. I like scary things.
And then The Secret of, I don't know how to say this.
Nim. Yeah.
And My Neighbor.
Also a terrifying movie. I just should have put Watership Down. Just
Watership to, like, round Down. It, out. It has bunnies in it.
I know. I should have just rounded it out.
Yeah. And then mine was mostly Disney stuff. It was Beauty and the
Beast. I know. I love the contrast.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
I've never heard that.
Loved that movie. You've never seen it? Oh my God.
Xenon
Girl of the 21st Century. And then there was the musician who was like kind of a boy bandy kind of guy. His name was Protozoa, and his song "Zoom Zoom Zoom" made my heart go. And it was, oh my gosh, it was fantastic.
I made the comment to Bryant. It said, "Christy says she's Miss Dark Heart, but I think we all know the truth now."
It's true. I have far less of a dark heart here. I do want to point out, though, that no one commented on my wildly inappropriate childhood movie, which is The Return to the Blue Lagoon. And I think that's because no one knows about it.
Oh, is that the one where they were underage and, like, having sex on the...
Yeah, so here's what happened. Mm-hmm. So there was the first movie, which was...
Why is that a favorite?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell you this story right now. You're going to love it so much. The Blue Lagoon stars Brooke Shields, and it was, like...
Oh,
wildly inappropriate, and you see a lot of penis in it. But also, like, Brooke Shields was underage, and everything about it is, like, very inappropriate and wrong.
I saw a docu about her, and she had a sad...
Yeah, it's super sad, and it has mostly to do with this movie.
There you go.
But then they made a sequel, The Return to the Blue Lagoon, which stars Mila Jovovich, who is also in Fifth Element. And who knows who the guy is. I don't know who he is, but somehow,
sorry to this man.
Somehow when I was a child, and I have a little bit of an like obsession, like I watch Criminal Minds over and over, but I did this when I was a kid too. I would watch like one movie just over and over again. And somehow my mother decided that it was okay for me to watch Return to the Blue Lagoon. And I would have been like 7.
Was there peni in that one?
There
as well?
Was a little less, nudity. But like at one point she gets her period and there's like a whole, like, this is about how she got her period. There's a bit about him having an erection and a whole discussion about that.
Okay.
And then they get pregnant.
Kathy.
I know. They get pregnant and she has a baby and that's a whole thing. And, anyway, but I watched this movie obsessively, but my best friend when I was a kid, her name is Chelsea. This is a favorite story of ours to tell. I wanted her to watch it. And my mom was like, well, like, I don't know if I can let her watch this because it's not appropriate for children. So she said, Chelsea, do you know, like, what happens when you become a woman? Well, Chelsea knew that saying yes meant she could watch the movie and saying no meant she couldn't. So she just said yes.
Chelsea was wise.
And so she watched the movie and then she like cried to her mom later because she was like, what is this about? And my mom and her mom had such a fight.
No.
Rightfully, her mom was upset about this.
Yeah, you can't trust kids.
No.
They're real feral. They just say what...
We will just say whatever it takes.
Whatever benefits them the most.
But I still... So I now own both movies on DVD.
Okay.
And Chelsea and I recently rewatched them together. And it was...
Did she have the same trauma as she did
before? She did not, but it was pretty hilarious. So... But I watched this movie so many times that I could probably just, like, enact it for you right now. Like...
I don't know that I want to see it.
You don't want it's a wild ride of a movie, though.
So the childhood crushes thing, how Jordan Catalano was not on your list.
Well, because I was thinking childhood and you were thinking teenager, I think.
Well, I think because I didn't have crushes when I was.
I was like, who are the people I had a crush on when I was a kid?
Jurassic Park. Ian Malcolm, played by the glorious Jeff Goldblum, mm-hmm. was definitely, I would say, a childhood crush. Because Jurassic Park didn't come out. I was underage. I snuck into that movie. I remember. I was not 17 or whatever.
You were not 17. But, like, yeah, I mean, this would have been a different list if I had thought about, like, teenage
person
crushes. But...
Did you put Peter Pan? No, you put Robin Hood. That's a common one. That little fox got some people going.
He was an awakening in a really confusing way. It's like, why do I want to make out with a fox?
I did say Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic, but really it started with Romeo and Juliet.
I was going to say, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio and Romeo and Juliet, which I recently rewatched with my class, and I have to tell you, like, it's so good. But like that was, I feel like, man, I understand the attraction to him at that point, that movie and Titanic. And then it's done for me.
Yes. It's done for me too. Like that is, I had the poster, I probably still have it in the closet of dreams. But like, yeah, no, I think after that, it just got real old and serious, but like in Basketball Diaries, I will say, although he was on drugs, but it's fine. But that sort of era.
Yeah.
For sure. Romeo and Juliet. The floppy hair. It made me also realize how easily that could have been prevented if people just talked to each other.
That's just true of like 99% of Shakespeare's plays. If people would just
like if just like one person had been like
a little bit.
By the way, this is she's not dead.
My favorite game to play is when you're watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer saying how many things would have been solved if they had cell phones. You can do this with Harry Potter too, because why they don't have cell phones is beyond me. But like there are just is a zillion different instances where nothing that happened would have happened if they would have just like texted them.
Or even if he just had thought
before I
kill myself, maybe I should talk to the priest. The priest was a big part.
The priest, he's probably
at the church. Like
that priest maybe should have just been hanging out nearish Juliet's body. You know,
I mean, it was like, a bunch. Like, as someone who worked in a church, there was a lot of candles and a lot of stuff.
Ooh, here's a question for you.
Would not have been left alone.
When Romeo and Juliet came out, did you become obsessed with candles and like want to kind of have just a million candles all around your house?
No, but I feel like you've got a story to tell.
I know. I just feel like that's what happened to me and everyone. Like, all of my friends, we all were just constantly trying to, like, put candles everywhere.
My mom would never have let me.
Well, no. Like, a lot of parents were like, stop trying to burn the house down.
Right. Like, I don't think.
It was.
Now maybe. Maybe it affected my long term, because I can't watch TV without lighting a candle.
This is the thing. I have a zillion candles right now. I'm looking at.
You do, because you have that subscription.
I have a candle subscription that is bad.
She does. She literally, like.
I have so many candles. Closet. I have a closet of candles. It's a problem. She does. It's a problem.
I mean, there's worse problems. It could be heroin. So who is your favorite out of your crushes, do you think?
Well, I had a crush on James Marsden for a very long time.
Did you see that new thing where he was in The Jury?
Yeah. Oh my god, The Jury was so good. I loved that show. Did you? He's also now like apparently
100.
No,
that's not what you're gonna say.
Sorry. That Quiet Onset documentary came out. I don't know if you heard about it.
Which one?
The Quiet Onset, the Nickelodeon documentary.
Yeah, that came out. He's suing the guy.
Well, apparently James Marsden is like one of the people who wrote a defense letter. Except I will say that I have since heard that documentary was like wildly unethical and they like tricked a bunch of people and stole a bunch of footage. Because
I
was asking
you about it and I said, so did they say that guy did anything? And you were like, no.
I mean, honestly.
Or maybe I asked my hairdresser, but I asked somebody and I said, so why is he in it so much? Like,
there was a guy that they tricked to being in it who then like stormed out and he's really mad. And then there's a woman who they used a bunch of her footage that she specifically said they could not use and they used it anyway. So there's just a whole bunch of like very problematic ethics going on with that documentary. But yes, apparently James Marsden was a bad guy for a minute, but now I don't know if he's a bad guy. But either way, he was hot when he was young. And yeah. I loved him for a long time. And then I loved
The Labyrinth threw some people because they were like David Bowie. And I'm like, have you seen
David Bowie in The Labyrinth?
That outfit?
Yeah.
I'm Jennifer Connelly. I am confused.
It was correct. Like,
I am age appropriately confused, just as she was.
I had a thing for Captain Von Trapp for a very long time as well.
That feels very you.
It does. Like, it's the most like predictable.
I think
thing.
I saw like Sound of Music like last year or something.
I was just like, that man, that is a man.
Because that was the dad,
Nazi
right?
flag.
You like the Nazi dad?
No, he was ripping up the flag.
Mm.
He was like,
my bad, I've only seen it once.
I can't believe you've only seen it once.
I really have. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll have a movie marathon and show each other.
We can exchange. This is the beauty of friendship. And I'll make you. I'll let you watch Scream, and then I'll show you the knife that bounces, and then you'll be like, "Oh, this isn't so scary because it's clearly fake."
It's clearly fake.
Now the later ones get real brutal, so do not listen to me about. But that first one is like going to an actual haunted house where they can't touch you.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! I love that.
Christy, it's getting late.
It is getting late, and I feel like we need to end on just the fact that we're gonna share these movies together.
Absolutely, because we're friends. Friendship never ends.
So I'm gonna make you watch.
I think we're finally gonna go to season two now that it's a year, maybe.
Yeah, we're gonna start season two. So we're it's the summer, also, guys. We're both kind of winding up our semesters, and so it's going to be a little chaotic during the summer, but we'll start season two now.
Yeah, and we'll try to – we're both going to the same wedding.
We are in Scotland, so we may have live – not live.
Ooh.
Live would be crazy. That would be the weirdest time.
It would be so strange, but you know what? We can do
it. We'll do it in person.
Thank you guys for supporting us.
Yes,
and
thank
for
you.
Listening. And we genuinely appreciate it. We have a really good time. It'll be back to theology. I mean, now that you guys know I'm a Bart person, but it'll be more theology next week.
We're going to be systematic all the time now.
Oh my God. Someone get me out of here.
Yeah, we will be back with more serious topics and some guests. We already have a guest coming up.
We have and
special guests coming. And oh, and make sure you get your Theology on the Rocks, or not Theology on the Rocks, that's us, Theology Beer Camp tickets. Rocks Aragorn is our discount code. And, you know, do all those things, like and subscribe and rate and etc. And we'll see y'all.
And we love you.
We love you. We're
yay!
Yay! Happy 1 year.
Happy 1 year. Bye.